I'm not crying anymore, oh, because I praise the Lord. I've been laughing all day long because of my Lord. Depression doesn't faze me anymore. Anxiety is gone because of my Lord.
It's time. Hey everybody, welcome to Lost Light and Laughter, an uplifting show about laughter after tragedy. I'm your host, Michelle A. If you're ready for some inspiration and laughter in your life, you've tuned in to the right show.
It's time to show love, everybody. Show love one time. He's strong enough to fight my battles. I know he'll never give me more than I can handle. My Lord, my King, the one that I do love. He sends his love.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lost Light and Laughter. I'm your host, Michelle A. And on today's episode, I have one of my favorite coaches. I follow a lot of coaches, but there's one that I truly enjoy. She is a beacon of light, beautiful smile, beautiful spirit, just a joyful person to be around. I want you guys to come on and meet Coach Seema. Seema, come on in. Tell the audience.
Hello. How are you, dear?
Yes. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do.
All right. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I hope I'm always a beacon of light. I am a confidence and healing coach, and I specialize in helping women heal their way to unstoppable confidence. So I'm a big, big advocate of healing, and because I feel like everything we do, whether it's our parenting, our career, our professional success, anything, our physical success, and our weight loss, everything boils down to our mindset and healing. So that's why I feel like I'm here in the world, the call that God has given me that's placed on my life. I'm so excited about it, just transforming women one beautiful lady at a time.
Right. Amen. Thank you for that. Well, Coach, as you know, the name of the show is called Lost Light and Laughter. Tell the audience about a significant loss in your life. Now, you know, you have the freedom to share as little or as much as you like. Just be transparent. Tell us about your loss.
Okay, sure. I've shared about this so many times, and I pray someone will listen to this and will be inspired to overcome a significant level of grief. So I want to share one of the biggest losses in my life, which, you know, I'm sure you have guests on here who have shared a plethora of things. And all of us have experienced significant loss in some way or another. But for me, one of the greatest loss I've ever experienced is at the age of 19. I was a freshman at the University of Virginia, a pre-med student, you know, just coming, walking into my adulthood. And January 2nd of my freshman year, I lost my mom to breast cancer. My mom was a single parent. She raised us pretty much by herself. And then about almost two and a half months later, my father, who stepped in after my mom passed away to be a parent, you know, he had to step in to be a parent. My sister was 17 and I was 19. And he passed away from a heroin overdose. So in a matter of 2.5 months, my sister, 17, myself, 19, we had to bury both our parents.
Yes.
So people ask me all the time, why in the world did you guys make it through that?
Yeah.
And, you know, over the years, I could probably say quite a few things, but I have to admit that the only way we could have made it is through God.
Yeah.
That's the only way we could have made it. It was a significant loss for me in the sense that I'm very shy, straight A student. You know, I was bullied a lot because I was very smart. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
very introverted. So having no parents, so it's one thing to go off to college and you have this level of freedom, right? You have this freedom. I don't have any parents. I can do what I want. But to really have no parents, I mean, you don't even have parents to call and say, hey, you know, I'm a little low on my gas or whatever. No parents. And during the holidays, for those of you who have been to college, you know, during the holidays, you know, that's your time to go home. You know, everybody's right. Like, oh, have a nice Thanksgiving. My sister and I didn't have a place to go.
Yeah.
After my dad died, we packed up everything and we put what we wanted to keep in storage. She went to Winston-Salem State, and then I went back to school north. So we would go home with our friends, you know. So we began to find out very quickly what friendship really means. You know, 17 and 19, you don't really know yet what a friend really is.
Right.
But at this point, right, a lot of our friends and my roommate at the time, her parents stepped in. So we really did find out at that moment what friendships we really, really had. And a lot of my hallmates' parents stepped in. It was an amazing thing to experience.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you've experienced like double losses like that.
Right.
Now, I mean, you don't even have time to recover. And then, bam, you get another call. Right. And then your heart's here all over again. And I know in college and just in life in general, it's like a reflex. As soon as something happens, you call mama. Oh, I got to tell my mama. Right. I got to share this with my dad. Can you just tell the audience a little bit about when it became real, when it's just like, I'm about to call my mom and you realize you can't. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, because, you know, when you're in college, particularly for me, I just told you I was very shy. So I hadn't developed this boldness that the Bible talks about, you know, I hadn't developed it yet. So there were a lot of times where I needed my mom to make a decision, or, you know, my mom was an old school mom, so she didn't play. She was only 5'2", but she didn't play. There were times I wanted her after she left us to call and say, you better get your butt in there.
Right.
I needed it. Right.
Yeah.
My dad was pretty absent. So, you know, even then with my dad for that short period of time from January to March, my dad and I started to build a relationship. He would call me every day at 4:00 and we would, you know, laugh on the phone. He was a jokester. And it was also the time when Oprah's show would come on at 4:00. You remember Oprah used to come on at 4:00?
I do remember. Yes.
So I would be back in my room. I'm like, I gotta see Oprah. And he would call almost every day. So we were starting to build a relationship. So even then, after he left, there are times today, Michelle, as an adult woman, that I would love to call my father because I need a male advocate.
Right.
And I think a lot of females, the reason why we are subjected to some of the things, experiences that we have been from males is because we don't have any male advocates.
Right.
You know, right. My sister and I talk about it all the time. We're like, you know, our dad was 82nd Airborne. He was a military. He was a man's man.
Okay? Right.
You know,
right.
Six pack at 44 years old. You know, he was the man's man. So, yeah, there are times where I'm like, if I call my daddy, oh, this gonna get straight.
Right.
But he wasn't there.
We're not playing those games. Yeah. No fear. Yeah.
So, you know, I missed. We didn't miss that part because we were at that part of life where you're becoming an adult, and you know you don't know how to make the best decisions when it comes to men anyway. And it would have been nice to call and say, Daddy, I got a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, such and such was being mean to me.
Yeah.
And it was kind of abusive. And I need you to show up.
Yeah.
But no call. There was no call. So you just had to deal with it. My sister and I, again, she was down at Winston-Salem State, me at UVA. But we were already close as siblings. But that whole experience really drew us closer. He became my advocate and I became her advocate. So, and we're still like that to this day.
Amen. You have to do what you have to do. So, okay. So this happened when you were young. And really, what was your relationship like with Christ at the time? Because, you know, this is the light part where we're going to talk about where God shows up. And honestly, you know, growing up, I went to church, right? But at 19, I wasn't like really in the word. And so I really didn't know God. But at that point too, I don't think I was even in a position where I had to rely on him because I still had parents, you know? So talk to us about where God was in that situation. I mean, were you saved at the time? Did you pray at that time? Like, how did he show up? And now that you're older, you can look back and see. So it's good that you can see where he was, but tell us about where God was in all of it.
Yes. I was saved. My sister and I both grew up in church. It's a funny story. My mom, you know, she worked what they call swing shifts at DuPont, which was a nylon plant. For those of you who are don't know what that means, it means that she worked sometimes 8 to 4, sometimes 4 to midnight, and then sometimes midnight to 8. So it just depends on what her schedule was. So mom, when she couldn't go to church, she made us go anyway.
That was a non-negotiable.
Yes,
that's a non-negotiable. Okay. Even if you had one leg, half your body was asleep, you're getting up and going. Okay. And you better not be late.
Right.
You're not going to be late.
See, this generation, they don't know it because if I don't go, my boys, they don't have to go. Right. So, but my mom would call our cousin who drove the van and she would just come home. Bum, 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 bum. And we better be on it. Okay. So we did grow up in the church. We both, you know, got saved, got baptized. However, at that time, I think you said something very significant. We went to church, but I don't believe at that particular time in our life we had developed a relationship. At this point, I can safely say that it was pretty religious, if I could say. It's basically doing steps.
Right. We just did what we were told. Shoot. We didn't know.
we don't do that
and we ain't do it.
Right.
That's what being a Christian was all about for us. Just do what they tell you to do.
Do what they tell you to do. So it was a very legalistic relationship with Christ, right? Thank God for growth, right? Thank God for growth. But we've heard the saying that God kept us even when we didn't want to be kept.
Amen.
That, right. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. So during that time when people say, how did you guys make it through it? That's what I say. I know for sure fact, as you said, looking back on it, that God was in it. Okay. We may not have recognized it or given him his glory at that moment. However, I know that he was there. It was all in his, everything that happened, the Lord was with us. Because when I think back over it, my sister and I have this conversation often, like our family has been riddled with addiction on both sides, mom and dad. And I told my sister one day, I said, you know what, when that happened to us so closely together, and then the situation with my dad, we had every propensity to pick up that coping mechanism. I mean, all of, as we say in the church, that, what do they call it? That, anyway, that
like
pattern. Generational curse, but we call it a pattern or pathology in the mental health psychology field. That pathology, the foundation was already laid, okay? So it could have easily, you know, in the Bible, they call it the spirit. That spirit could have easily jumped on me or her, right?
Right.
To simply cope.
Yeah.
To cope.
Yeah.
So I can't take any credit. My sister can't take any credit. I didn't do anything. She didn't do anything because we didn't do anything to keep ourselves from that from happening. So it had to be God. That's where God was in it. This is my testimony still to this day. After that, I never was without a place to lay my head. Amen. I have never been without a car.
Amen.
I've never been without food to eat.
Amen.
And I've never been without employment.
Amen.
So when you want to know where God was in it, God was in it. And the Bible declares that he will take care of widows and orphans. And at that point, my sister and I, even though I was 19, a lot of people are like, well, you really wasn't an orphan because you were 19. But I was an orphan.
Yes, you were. Yeah, that's right.
Because
that's right.
I didn't have a parent. I didn't have a mother or father. And so I've held on to that still at 52 years of age. Orphans and widows. Yes, that's where God was in it. He orchestrated every step, everything we needed, you know, from being behind at school and my instructors stepping up and helping me get, you know, stay on track with my peers, my sister, everything God orchestrated. And now today, I started a movement in 2016 called hashtag It Had to Happen. I use this story with my parents. And a lot of people, man, wow, how could you say that your parents dying, quote unquote, it had to happen? And I sang a song called It Was Necessary. So one of the things that when I think about my parents being here, yes, I'd like to have them back. But had they not left me, Michelle, I wouldn't be the person I am today. With boldness, you know, just able to stand on my own 2 feet, building boundaries, advocating for myself, teaching other women to do that. It made me grow up real, real fast. And so where I said before, I didn't know how to stand up for myself. Actually, my sister, when we were growing up, she was my protector and she my baby sister. So it really forced me to grow up, figure it out. You don't have any other options. You can't lean on mom and dad. You won't be enabled. You can do this. Lean on Christ. He is the solid rock in which you stand. So he has certainly been a mother to me as the motherless and a father to me as the fatherless. Absolutely. Every single day. And still to this day, what, 30? I want to say 30 some years later, after they both have been gone, as a mother myself, when I run into issues, I lean on God, because if you did that for me back then, surely you can, you know, stand in the gap for me today. But that's where God was.
Amen. He is so good. I say this all the time on this show. He is good and his mercy endures forever.
Forever.
It's just evidence all the time. And just to hear that you never went without. And it never may not have been what you wanted, you know, maybe the exact same way and how it came and what it looked like, but you were never forsaken.
Never
and
forsaken.
He said he would never, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their
or seed begging
bread. That's right. That's right. And it's those seeds that are planted inside of us at such a young age that, you know, when I think about that, I'm like, we know your parents are resting in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, we already know where they are.
We already know.
And we already see God's hand on it. And we know that it's temporary, that you'll see them again. And so when I look at that, I'm like, thank you, Lord, just for knowing your truth. That is, it's just temporary. We're going to see them again.
We're going to see them again.
Yes. And y'all going to have some stories to share.
Exactly.
So, talk to us about them stories. Tell us about the laughter part, okay? Because I'm just saying, yeah, I know y'all done got into some stuff. Like,
so one of my favorite things to share about my mom. Oh my gosh, mom! Uh-huh. And I share this now, and I laugh at it now. It used to really be a trigger. Uh-huh. So, for those of you out there who are listening, and there are things still from your childhood that people said. You know, that little thing they said, sticks and stones may hurt our bones, but words, that was a lie.
Okay. That's right. It's a lie.
Words do hurt. And so this one thing my mother used to say about me used to bother me, Michelle. Mm-hmm. And she used to say, I was so smart, straight A student. She used to say, well, you just don't have any common sense, right?
I know that.
And for a long time.
Yeah.
A long time, it used to bother me, even as an adult, it would bother me. And I'm like, what does she mean by that? Mm-hmm. And I know what it meant. So for yeah. those of you watching, you know, it meant I didn't have any really street, quote unquote, street sense. Right?
Yes, yes, yes. No street smarts.
There you go.
She book smart, y'all. But street smart, she get her money took. Okay? They snatching it up. Okay? She going home crying.
Yeah, somebody took her candy. She trying to be nice. Everything. My sister had to come to my rescue. So I get it now. And now that I've understood probably what she was saying because of the person I was then. Right. Uh-huh. So the laughter in it is now when I share the story, I would say, Mama, guess what, girl?
That's right.
Sis, now, and I got street smarts.
They try to get me, but this is what happened, right? You're coming back.
Let me tell you, because you used to tell me that I hurry up and got some street smarts.
That's right. Yeah.
So I literally took something that pained me. I turned around to left. I share it all the time. And if my mom was here right now, we would laugh about it. And I would hug and say, Mama, thank you for telling me that. That was a clue. It was really telling me that where God was taking me, I'm going to need you to grow up a little bit, because you're going to have some tough skin where I'm taking you. So it's nice to be smart as far as books, but I need you to be able to be smart when dealing with people, human beings.
Yeah.
So, and then with my dad, I just told you he would call me every day at 4 o'clock. And my roommate, I had a Caucasian roommate, which, hey, Kimber, if you happen to listen to this. And my dad would call and she might answer the phone. And when she would pick up, he would go, dig those cherries, baby. And she'd be like, hello. And then I could see her face. I'm like, that must be my daddy. And
yeah, he would be on the phone.
Now, you know, he was in the military. So he had all these little sayings. He would be on the phone doing his little cadence. And I'd be on there on the phone. And she'd be looking like, okay. Little did I know, he wasn't going to be here long.
Yeah.
Right? I had 2.5 months with him, laughing on the phone. And so he would say, dig those cherries, baby. Or what was another one he used to say? He had this little thing that he used to say. I guess they used to say it in the military, something about Hershey's chocolate. But anyway, he would have me crying, laughing so hard. Yeah. And to this day, my sister and I on the phone, we'd be like, dig those cherries, baby. Or we'll tell the kids how we used to march around the house and my mom would have her nose turned up like, and we would be doing his cadences and laughing.
That's right. You know,
like we're in the military. He showed us how to do the right turn and everything.
Uh-huh.
While we only spent a little short period of time really getting to know him in an authentic way, just, you know, dad, that's our dad. Those 2 months for me, now my sister may have had a different experience, but those 2 months for me were so powerful. And because a lot of it was laughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of it was laughter. So he made that whole situation after mom passed away. It was hard, but he made that little bit of time like you just talked about. This happened. I'm in recovery mode. And dad taught us how to laugh through it. Taught me anyway. So that's the funny part about him. And every now to this day, we get on the phone, we go to laughing and just, you know, cutting up and just trying to figure out if he was still here. What would we be doing? My sister said, laughing.
Yeah.
Just, you know, one of them gut busting laughs, you know, get off his phone, daddy. Get off his phone.
Amen. You know, when I listen to you, there's a couple things that kind of come to mind. When I think about your mom and the common sense, she was such a good mom, you didn't have to have it because she was going to take your stuff. So you didn't have to have common sense.
Have to.
She had it covered. Okay. And so you can see like God done answered her prayer. She was like, I know she went to her knees about you.
Yes, she did.
And so you're like, Lord, you're going to have to help this child. I know. I can hear it right now. I don't even know your mom. Listen. But she's probably like, look, Lord, you're going to have to help this child.
You're going to have to help
be
this
like
child.
This.
He probably did. You are so funny because I never thought about that, but you probably exactly right.
Yeah.
She probably knew when she started getting sick, Now that youngest one, I ain't worried about her. But that oldest one, Lord, you're gonna have to.
You're gonna have to.
I ain't gonna be here to fix it, you know?
Yes. And then when I think about your dad, especially when you said in the beginning that he wasn't there, he was kind of absent. And I was like, this is again God's mercy. Because before he left, you had a chance to be filled with the laughter. And so he did not go to his grave with you not knowing who your dad was. He didn't go to his grave with you being upset that he wasn't there. You got to experience the laughter. So that, again, is God's mercy. Like, he was like, you know what? I'm going to make sure you laugh at this man. So you know why your mom done got with that man. Because he's charming.
That's it, girl. You are good.
So now you know why your mama got. Now I know why mama got with daddy.
Absolutely. He was hilarious. My roommate would just be like, you know, y'all are something.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. This was so good, Coach. Thank you so much for coming on. Listen. Do you have any last words of encouragement for someone that have lost one parent, two parents, or even both? Because that's a hard hit. And at such a young age, you know, and I want to make sure that my teenagers have an opportunity to hear this, because there are, especially with COVID happening, there are people that lost both parents.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so I want people to know that you can get past this, and it does hurt, but you can get past this, because we got Coach Seema here in the house and she is a mighty powerhouse. All right. So go ahead and tell us any last minute thoughts or advice.
Yes. So the first thing, I get asked this all the time. The first thing is to realize that grief or grieving for everyone looks and feels different. So do not compare. Try not to compare your journey. So, you know, you may be doing good for a year and then all of a sudden you have a hard spot. That's normal. Mm-hmm. That's normal. That's so right. Just, you know, just grab God's hand in your support system. If you don't have one, reach out to me and, you know, just walk through that time, because it will, as they say, joy comes in the morning, right?
That's right.
So it will pass. It will pass. And my parents have been gone over 30 years and I still have moments as an adult where, you know, and it's not necessarily their birthdays or holidays or, you know, the day I got married, you know, was a significant day. My dad wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Things like that. It's okay to remember them and to go back to that moment when you found out that you lost them. It's just part of your healing journey. Second thing I would encourage you to do is to understand, for those of you who may have lost both your parents during COVID or anything, you didn't do anything wrong, my dear.
That's right. That's right.
It was nothing that you did. I know an adversary might want to whisper, you know, that you did this. That's why you lost both of them. And why am I going through this? Mm-hmm. And as Fantasia said in her song, that, you know, some of the things that God allows, that he allows, he didn't do it, but he might allow it, much like Job, is because he wants to use you for his glory. So if you can just ask him to help you through it so that you can get on the other side and be a witness like I am today, it comes to losing, having great loss and how you can overcome it. And so I have literally used all my pain, really, particularly that situation, to as a stepping stone. So I've used the fact that my parents left here, even though it could have took me out and I chose that way, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. And so going back to my movement I started in 2016, hashtag it had to happen. And the second part of that, you guys, is God never wastes anything. I know it's not perfect English, but it just says he won't waste it. Basically saying it won't be in vain. I promise you it will not be in vain. If there's a caveat, if you let him, he will definitely use it for his glory and probably use it for your glory as well. So just stay encouraged, beloveds, whatever loss you experience, just, you know, keep your head up and remember you didn't do anything wrong. It was just part of your journey.
That's right. Amen. And so, Coach, tell the people where they can find you in case they want to receive coaching services.
Absolutely. So you can find me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook as Seema, spelled S as in Sam, I-M-A, last name Clark, C-L-A-R-K. You can find me on Instagram at Coach Sima, S-I-M-A, Y-T-I-N-A. That's spelled Y-T as in Tom, I-N-A. If you're interested in coaching, you can email me at SimaSpeaks@gmail.com. And we will be glad to get you set up with the discovery call so I can find out what your needs are. And if I have something, I'm sure I do, that can help you move through whatever it is you're working through. So I'm talking to the man or woman, men. Mm-hmm. This is something new, because before I was just like, I'm focusing on women, but I'm about to open it up to men too now. If you're dealing with anything that could be holding you back, yeah, particularly your childhood trauma, and I want to work with you. And as I said at the top of this, healing your way to unstoppable confidence.
Amen. Amen. Well, everyone, I want to thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Loss, Light, and Laughter. And this concludes our show. Coach Sima, thank you again for coming on.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Have me back anytime.
That's right. Thank you so much. And y'all remember, don't run from God, run to God when these things happen. All right, y'all have a good one.
Everybody, show love one time. It's time to give praise. Everybody, give praise one time. Yeah. It's time to show love, everybody. Show love one time.